Thank you very much. Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to appear, it's encouragement. One of the important things about introducing the speaker is to make sure that you have the right name. And as I introduced Dan Harrington to pray earlier, he was a fullback on my soccer team from college, not Mr. Craig Harrington, so I apologize. But this morning, we have Dr. Jeff Straub with us. He has been here many times, and we appreciate his service. He's one of my professors, someone who will be grading my paper on Monday. And so I promised I would say all the nice things. But he has been a church planter in Canada. He is a professor at Central Baptist Theological Seminary, and he has had a great impact on my life. And he and his wife have helped Crystal and I greatly. So I'm glad that he can be here with us today.
Well, it's always good to be back here at Liberty Baptist. I appreciate those kind words, Seth, from the bottom of your heart. You know, it's always intimidating for a student when they have to deal with their professor, both in and out of class. And I appreciate Seth and Crystal. We've enjoyed their friendship. My wife, of course, with Crystal and the ladies' radio broadcast, and just through the Central Wives and Seth and various classes we've enjoyed. You know, I enjoy the students. It's a blessing to be able to work with them and to be able to have a part in their lives and see what the Lord is going to do with them. And we're always glad to know them and sad to see them leave, but glad to see them move on in the service for the Lord. This morning, I would like to preach a message entitled Spiritual Lessons from Sudden Destruction. 3 weeks ago on Friday, a 9.0 earthquake struck off the coast of Japan, resulting in a tsunami that devastated the northern peninsula of Okushu in Japan, killing in excess of 12,000 people, and doing, by conservative estimates, more than $200 billion worth of damage. As terrible as this event is, it's just the latest in a string of catastrophes that has hit our world. Last year, Haiti had a 7.0 earthquake that killed 316,000 people and devastated Port-au-Prince. In 2005, Hurricane Katrina came in and nearly wiped out New Orleans, killing 1,836 people. In 2004, of course, another earthquake and tsunami off the coast of Indonesia killed an estimated 230,000 people. You know, you start looking at these death tolls and these catastrophes, and people are inclined to ask the question, what about the Lord? Is he coming? Are these signs of his coming? What do we learn from these events? It was always my practice when I pastored to break whatever series I was in when things like this happened in our world, to draw people's attention to them, because this is the world that we live in. And of course, I was on my way to Romania when all of this was coming down, and we were just glued to the internet to see what was going on. It was so devastating. It was just hard to imagine. And as they were trying to get a handle on the extent of the devastation, and I don't know if you've watched any of the videos that have been uploaded to the internet on how quickly and how powerfully the tsunami came and just overwhelmed towns and cities. In a matter of minutes from when the earthquake hit, waves in excess of 40 and 50 and maybe upwards of 100 feet came and just overwhelmed. And we watched one particular video of a group of people that as the water came into town and just washed the town away and just absolutely, you know, I don't know what I would have thought if I were standing there on the hill that day watching my whole community be washed out to sea. It was absolutely incredible. As Christians, we live in a world filled with calamity. On Friday, I got an email from a missionary that Fourth Baptist Church supports, Dan Hufstetler, in Kenya, asking for prayer because the Kenyan government is about to level a 27% tax on all missionaries on all of their monthly income. That could be a huge liability on missionaries working in Kenya. Make matters worse, he sent a link to a news article about a young man, 36 years old, by the name of Eber Kramer, a Dutch missionary working with Youth with a Mission, running an orphanage, not far from where they were living. On February 25th, three armed men broke into their home, shot and killed Eber, raped his wife in front of their children, and just devastated the Christian community over there. We live in a difficult world. As Christians, when we read these stories, when we hear of this calamity, when we think about life as we know it, we need to be reminded that life is short. I was sitting there just listening to the special music, watching, I assume, a father and a daughter sing this morning, thinking to myself, oh, to be young again. I turned 55 this year, which may not be old for some of you, but it seems reasonably old from where I sit, thinking that, you know, my life is well nigh over, and there's no going back and doing anything again. The mistakes that I made can't be fixed. The deeds that I have done cannot be undone. The choices, the opportunities that I missed cannot be grasped again. The time that I wasted cannot be reclaimed. The blessings that God has bestowed cannot be withdrawn. The joys that we have celebrated will never pass away. Life is fleeting. And it behooves us to reflect on the brevity of life. The text that was read this morning is a well-known text for us. And it is fitting that we are reminded that life is short. As we face the world in which we live, we have no guarantee of tomorrow. And whatever we intend to do, we need to do today while we have the opportunity. As I sat there and listened to the special music, I thought, you know, there are books that I still want to read. There are projects that I still want to do. I had better do them while I have a chance, because time is running out. You say, well, you know, you're only 55. I'm 75. I'm 80. I'm 85. You've got a long life ahead of you. Maybe. Maybe. My father died at 52. His father died about 60. My grandmother on his side lived to be 94. My grandmother on my mother's side lived to be 90. My mother lived to be 87, so I'm not sure whose genes I have. Nevertheless, there is no guarantee about tomorrow. And I remember, as I think back on my life, about people that you never would have expected to be ushered out into eternity, who were here today and gone tomorrow. When I was in Bible college, a young man by the name of Bob Davidson and I were members of the same Christian fraternity on campus. He was a lean, mean, basketball-playing machine until he had a massive heart attack on the basketball court and he was ushered into eternity. A few years ago, my daughter's best friend was getting up early one Saturday morning and headed to the local driver's examiner branch with her father, anticipating getting her driver's license for the first time. And as they crested a hill, a man who had been drinking all night long was in their lane and hit them head on. And Jennifer and her father were ushered into eternity. 18 months ago, when my son decided to come home for a weekend from Marshall, you know we have a disabled son, and he was driven home by one of his personal care attendants, and on the way back, the car in which he was riding was hit at a turn outside of Sacred Heart by a man who fell asleep at the wheel, and Josh Baldwin was killed at 19 or 20 years of age. Life is uncertain. In times when we see what happened in Japan, do you suppose on the morning of March the 11th, as people got up and went about their day, they had any idea that 12,000 of those people would be ushered swiftly into eternity within just a few hours? Maybe you heard about the story of the American young lady who was teaching in an elementary school and a cross-cultural teaching experience, and after she took care of her children, she got on her bicycle and tried to flee, and she died in the tsunami. The prime of life swept into eternity. God reminds us again and again that life is short. You say, boy, this is not really a pleasant thing to preach on. And I have to admit to you, there's a whole lot of things I'd rather preach on than the shortness of life. Seated behind me was a family full of kids, and I just love watching them, full of energy and enthusiasm and excitement, and thinking, man, I remember when my kids were that age. In fact, it was yesterday. And now I'm about to have my second grandson, and where did time go? And pretty soon, mom and dad are going to be saying, all of a sudden, their kids are getting married, and they're having kids of their own, and where did time go? Trust me, it happens fast. Life is fleeting. One of the things that amazes me as I get older is all of a sudden the people I went to school with aren't, people are dying. You get the alumni newspaper and so-and-so passed away and so-and-so had cancer and so-and-so had this and so-and-so had that, and it's like, you mean to tell me that I'm going to fit? You know, when I was 21 years old, I never thought about death. Never, ever, 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 ever thought about death. Now that I'm 55, I'm just reminded all of the time that I am walking toward death. I don't want to be morbid this morning, but folks, life is short. James reminds us here in the book of James, come on now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Doesn't this sound like so many of us? What do you want to do with your life? Well, I plan to do this, and I plan to build this home, and I plan to start this business, and then I'm going to buy a house at the cottage, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to go there. Kind of reminds me of the rich fool in, what is it, Luke chapter 12. He walked out one morning and he looked around at his barns and his fields, and he said, man, look at how successful I am. I'm going to tear down these barns and build bigger ones because I am such a good farmer. I'm going to do so much better tomorrow. And God said to him, you're a fool. How could a farmer with such capable skills be rendered a fool in the eyes of God? Because he never thought about eternity. James warns us, be careful. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? Now, there's a rhetorical question if ever one was asked. Hey, Seth, what's your life? Hey, Jared, what's your life? Hey, Linus, what's your life? What kind of a question is that to ask? Pretty personal if you ask me. God is asking us to take a good, long, hard look at our life and ask ourselves the question, what really is the measure of our life? What is its value? What is its purpose? If we were gone, would it matter to anyone? I think Seth might be somewhat relieved if I didn't have to grade his paper tomorrow. But somebody would grade it because they got to have grades. What is our life? What is its value? What is its measure? What is its meaning? What is its impact? Does it really matter that we've lived? What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Yesterday, as we drove home from Grand Forks via Granite Falls, we drove out through the fields of western Minnesota. And of course, it was a nice sunny day, and the black earth was finally being exposed. And as you drove along, you'd see the ground, the moisture evaporating, and the mist rising up out of the ground as the earth soaked up the sun's heat and the water turned to moisture. But it rose and dissipated. It rose and dissipated. It rose and dissipated. Good luck with trying to collect the vapor. You know, when we go, when it's especially cold and we walk out and we breathe, here is a vapor that appears and then it's gone. Such is the description that God uses of our life. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. That's not a very favorable picture of my life. Just like a mist that vanishes away. And I think that when we see these kinds of calamities, we ought to be reminded that life is short and it's uncertain. And it's unpredictable. And it's dangerous. Now, for the Christian, I understand we don't have to fear things like the tsunami. I'm going to India in a few days. After graduation, I'll fly over there and be with Sam Day for 2 weeks. I'm not terribly worried about something happening over in India. I was in Romania a couple of weeks ago at our satellite campus over there, and you know, you travel in other countries and there's always things that can go wrong. I'm not terribly worried about that. As I told the Sunday school class, I don't really think I'm a candidate for being mugged. Especially when I stand next to Sam Day. Like, I'm 3 times the size of Sam Day. You know, Sam Day, if he's 100 pounds dripping wet, he's just a small, tiny sort of a guy. Tiny's not a word that would ever be used in a sentence with me. In fact, the brother in Sunday school was talking about his small voice. That's my problem, too. I have a real small voice. Nothing about me is tiny. So I'm not really worried about being mugged, but that's not where life is uncertain. I'm not worried about that kind of a thing. But the reality is, the Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Somewhere out in eternity, not in eternity, but in time, I have an appointment with God. Now, I don't know if that's today, this afternoon, tomorrow, next week, next month, 15 years from now. I don't know where that is, but there is an appointment that I will keep. And until then, my life is described in the Bible as merely a vapor. It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And as terrible as these calamities are, they remind us that life is short. and that we cannot be so consumed with living in this world. You know, this world has a lot of pleasurable things in the world. I mean, I'm thinking things that are legitimately pleasurable. A beautiful sunset. A majestic landscape. Wild animals. I can look at wild animals all day long. I love going out in the woods and watching moose and deer and bear and raccoons and birds. I live over here in Plymouth, and I got 4 bird feeders hanging off my, right where I sit and eat my breakfast. And you know, it's like I don't let anybody sit there because those are my birds, and I want to watch my birds when they come. My wife, she says, I don't have time to watch the bird. Who has time to watch the birds? Like, I don't know what she's so busy about, but I like to sit there and watch the birds. I mean, I can just do that all day long. There are some things that are just pleasurable. But that's not what life is all about. I hope that I'm investing in this brief, tenuous life in eternity, that somehow my life will matter. And I don't want to wait until tomorrow to make it matter. I don't want to wait until next week, until next month, until next year. Well, the next job I get, I'll get one that really counts. If this one doesn't count, I'm going to quit today and go find one that does. Life is short. What is your life? For you are like a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, now, James says, if you're in the custom of living like this, living for today with no thought of the importance of life, instead, he says, you ought to say, here's a friendly bit of advice James is saying, if the Lord wills, immediately you begin to think about what God wills for our life. We don't often talk about the will of God anymore these days because, you know, it's like God doesn't really care as long as I don't sin. Most anything I do is okay with God, as though God is sort of, oh, well, you're going to do what you want to anyway. You know, we were sometimes that way with our kids. You know, you said, now don't do that, now don't do that, now don't, all right, if you want to do it, you go ahead and do it. Now, we would let them get into a little bit of trouble to learn that they really did need to listen to mom and dad. You know, I didn't let them play on the highway as a lesson for them. There were other ways to curb their behavior. But occasionally, we, okay, go ahead and try. And then they did something, and they said, ooh. I said, you know, son, if you'd listened to me, you would have avoided all of that. A lot of people think that God is sort of like that. Go ahead and do what you want to do. We need to think in terms of what is the Lord's will for our life. Are we living according to the will of God? And James says, for you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this, or we will do that, or we will do something else. What is God's will for our life? And that really is all that matters. My son turns 28 next month, 27 next month. Where's he going to go? I don't really care, as long as it's the will of God. What's he going to do? I don't really care, as long as it's the will of God. Well, won't you miss your grandchildren? That's beside the point. Well, what if you never see them again? That would be sad, but what does that have to do with anything? Yes, but don't you want them to grow up? Well, of course I do, but what does that have to do with anything? Well, don't you want to offer your opinion? What difference does my opinion make? Of course I do, but I'd rather my children serve the Lord because I don't know how long they have. It could be that my son will precede me in death, and I want him to be faithful when he dies. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. I don't know what God's will for him. But I want him to do the will of God because I do know that life is short. Maybe Jesus will come back. And our brother was singing about that. Maybe Jesus will come back and we'll all be standing before him. Was it Harold Camping that said Jesus is coming back on May the 24th this year? I heard somebody say that. So maybe, in fact, I suggested to Dr. Bowder that since that's true, there's no point in having graduation this year. In fact, I asked Dr. Pratt if I could go ahead and take my vacation early, like all of the month of April. He wasn't real excited about that. I said, well, the Lord's coming back. I want to get my vacation in before he comes back. He said, nice try. You know, I don't know when the Lord's coming back, and I'm not mocking the Lord coming back. The Lord well could come back tomorrow. But I'm a little skeptical when somebody says, I know the day he is coming back. In fact, I'm really skeptical about that. But the reality is the Lord is coming, and we do face a time of certain and imminent judgment. And when things like 9/11 or March 11th happen in our world, as Christians, we need to stop and remember that life is short. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. What is your life? Does it really matter? I'm only one person. I can't do much. But I am one person and I can do something. Maybe my entire reason for being in Minneapolis is to help Seth Grotsky. Maybe that's my only reason for being here. Maybe I've been here for 8 years teaching at Central Seminary's faculty so that I could have some, and maybe my influence on Seth is all bad. Maybe the only thing I am to Seth is a good example of what not to do. I want my life to have a purpose. I worked for a church that way when I was in Bible school. I worked for a pastor. And in fact, I was so frustrated with the church, I went to the director of ministerial training at this college that I was going to, and I said, you know, I really need another appointment. I have learned more how not to run a church from working with this brother than I can, you, in the stories I could tell you about that. It was the church ministry from the other side. It was difficult. It was horrible. But it was a good example of a bad example. But all kidding aside, I don't know what my purpose is, but I want to be in a place where God can use me because life is short. And I thank the Lord for these reminders periodically. When I see the calamity and chaos in our world, I'm reminded that life is short. And that I must be about my master's business. Now, some of you have lived well past 55. And you say, ah, kid, you've still got a long ways to go. And I hope I do. I mean, I'd kind of like to see my grandkids grow up. I'd kind of like to see that. Now, I don't want to see that as much as I want to see some other things. But, you know, it's the tension that we face. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Nevertheless, to be with you is more needful. So there was that tension. Do we go or do we stay? I don't want to be so heavenly minded that I'm of no earthly good, so to speak. But I do want to be faithful while I'm here. I don't want God at the great judgment seat of Christ for him to say to me, what was your life as though? I didn't see much point to it. Do you? And I'm thankful. The older I get, the more I'm reminded of the brevity of life. Life is short and uncertain. And even for your teenagers, do you talk to your teenagers about death? You talk to your children about death? You say, man, I don't want to talk to my kids about such heavy subjects. You know, the truth is, even kids die. A number of years ago, Joshua, my youngest son, is 21 years old. 3 months from either before or after, and I don't remember which, of his birth, Jasper Coop was born. And before she was 1 year old, she died of sudden infant death syndrome in our church's nursery. We'd had a fellowship. The kids, Joshua and Jasper, were laid down for a nap. And when the moms went to pick our children up, Jasper was gone in the church nursery. That same time frame, I was working in the back of an ambulance, and Brandy Pigeon was one of our Sunday school children. And I got called to the hospital. They needed some extra help there, small rural hospital, and as an EMT, we would occasionally go in and help. And here was Brandy Pigeon, had an asthmatic seizure and died, 11 years old. Bob Davidson, 18 years old, playing basketball, had a massive heart attack. Do you talk to your children about death? Death is real. And we need to train our children from the time they're small to live every moment for God, because life is a vapor. How many children in Japan got up on March the 11th and went to school and never came home? Sure, it's heavy. But being prepared is way better than being caught unaware. What is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You ought to say, if the Lord wills. As we face these calamities in our world as Christians, I can't say why God sent the tsunami to Japan. I can't say why he sent the earthquake to Haiti. I can't say why he allowed Katrina to wipe out New Orleans. I can't say why 9/11. I can't answer the why questions. But I do see a reminder from God that life is short. And we need to be ready to meet him, because we never know when the appointment with God will transpire. We ought to say, if the Lord will. And the Lord willing, I'm going to India this summer. The Lord willing. And if I go, praise the Lord. And if I don't, praise the Lord. And the Lord willing, I'm going to have a second grandchild in the next couple of weeks. And if I do, praise the Lord. And if I don't, praise the Lord. And the Lord willing, I'm going to go home to my wife today. And if I do, praise the Lord. And if I don't, praise the Lord. I want to be ready to meet the Lord. Are you? Let's pray. As we bow before the Lord now, let me just ask you this question. I don't know where you stand before him. I presume most of us are Christians here. And most of us have done the ultimate preparation, preparing for eternity. We've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. We are ready to meet him. And so really all we need to think about is living in a way that reflects our readiness, that we ultimately are living for things that are eternal, that ultimately we are remembering that life is short and that we're making the most of every day for the glory of God. It could be that there's somebody here this morning who's never trusted Christ, who, if they are caught up in a calamity and die, you would not stand with the redeemed. If that is your case this morning, I would encourage you not to leave today until you have sought spiritual counsel and settled your eternal destiny. Life is short and very uncertain. And if we learn anything from March 11th, 2011, 12,000 Japanese got up that morning and never expected to be ushered into eternity. And the wave hit and they were gone. If you were captured in some kind of a calamity, would you be prepared? For those of us who are Christians, do we make the most of every day? Do we live in a way that honors the Lord? Father, help us, Lord, to realize that life is short and that we need to live in the light of eternity for Jesus' sake. Amen.